Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Jamie is with us today with a book called 8 Perfect Murders. I'm guessing it's not a how-to.
It is not a how-to, although, I mean, if you're highly suggestible and you like to get ideas, maybe this will give you a few, but we'll have you sign a waiver before you listen to this podcast, or we'll have to testify at your trial. So, yeah, this book is by Peter Swanson, who wrote a book a few years ago that I loved called The Kind Worth Killing. He's known for high suspense psychological drama. And this book, though, I almost didn't pick up because the title made me think it was 8 short stories about murder, and I just wasn't into that. But it turns out it's a whole feature-length book about 8 perfect murders.
So how about you tell us about or at least the central character, a little bit about him.
So the central character is named Malcolm, and he works at a bookstore. And he wrote a blog at one point for the bookstore about 8 perfect murders, which highlighted 8 books that he thought had the perfect murders.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so this is really good for people who are into crime fiction because he talks about these books and kind of goes in depth. And if you're curious to know how many that you know or have read, that's a good thing too.
I was about to ask if these are real books.
Yeah, oh, they're totally real books.
Oh, that's even more exciting.
So the first one, for example, is The ABC Murders by Agatha Christie. Mm-hmm. And the premise of that book is, which I have not read, But I can tell from this book that the killer kills somebody like Adam Ant, you know, A.A., Barbara Brown. And they do this to hide the person they really want to kill. So, like, they have a target, but to make it all confusing to throw off the cops, they make it look like a serial murderer.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So that's one of them on the list. Another one is Death Trap, which I have not read. Strangers on a Train plays a really big part in this. And if you are bored tonight and have Netflix, watch that movie. It is fantastic.
Interesting.
So it's a book and a movie. The Red House Mystery by A.A. Milne. Take a pause. I'm going to quiz you guys. What is A.A. Milne really known for?
Winnie the Pooh.
Thank you, God.
Oh, my God.
I had to hold my breath because it's like librarians, right? So I had no idea that he also wrote murder mysteries.
Yeah, that is quite a stretch.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't read that one either. I have read The Secret History by Donna Tartt, which is on the list. Double Indemnity is on the list, which is also a fantastic movie. So basically, he writes this list, just super innocuous. We could do a podcast called 8 Perfect Murders, right? And one day, an FBI agent comes into his store and says, hey, we need to talk. There's been some killings around here. And I happen to think that they're emulating, copying your list. Mm-hmm. So the FBI agent kind of asked for his help in getting to the bottom. Like, you know, what do you see? What do you think? Do you think this is this? Look through these cold case files. See if you think any of them might be based on the plots of this book.
Interesting.
Do they think it's him at any point?
Yeah. So he's absolutely, and she says that right off, you know, you're a suspect kind of, right? But he's fully cooperative and la-da-la-da-la-da. But here's the thing, right? So any kind of like thriller, psychological, the narrator, he's the one telling the story, is never fully reliable. So you kind of know. And then he starts dropping breadcrumbs that he's done some things and he knows some things about this list and at least one or two of the murders that make him highly suspect.
Okay. So what time frame are we looking at? Like, did he publish a list on a Tuesday and then murder started happening the next week? Or
no, it was a few years back. Okay. He had forgotten about it. But then, not to give anything away, he'd gotten into some stuff kind of based on the Strangers on the Train novel. So, like, as soon as that comes up, he's like, oh, no, this could be a real thing. He thinks that the killer knows him.
Oh, okay.
Because one of the victims is a customer of his, like somebody he knew.
Okay.
And I'll just tell you about that perfect murder. In that murder, and I can't remember what book it's from, the victim dies of a heart attack and everyone thinks it's a heart attack. But the truth is someone had hidden in their house, jumped out and scared them into having a heart attack. Yes, yeah, scared that they were scared to death. So, you know, that's hard to prosecute, right?
Yes. It's not,
they don't even realize it's foul play. So that's one of the murders. So there's a huge point in the book where you're like, it's probably not him, but he's not quite as innocent as he would seem. He's not just a bookseller. So there's some stuff.
Were any of the books from his list intriguing enough that you maybe want to go back
and
read them?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's one called The Drowner by John MacDonald. And the way, this is crazy, but the way those murders are committed, or that murder is, somebody, I think, wears scuba gear and they're in the bottom of a pond. And when the victim comes to swim, they drowned them. from underneath.
Oh, so they're like hiding in a pond.
Hiding in a pond,
okay.
Right?
So
wow.
I'm kind of curious how that plays out.
Yes.
And I want to do the A.A. Milne book. And certainly I had just watched Strangers on a Train, the movie, within the last year. And Double Indemnity also, so yeah.
So this definitely seems like a good book to pick up if you also want some recommendations to go with.
Yeah, for other books, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a book for book lovers, absolutely.
So is it still a thriller, though? I mean, I know you said that the narrator is unreliable. Were there moments where it was incredibly tense?
Not... So, yeah, the tension, you know, in the climax scene where the killer and all the people, like, realize what's up and somebody's got a gun. So, yeah, that's the tense part. The interesting part to me was, like, trying to look at it like an actual mystery, like an Agatha Christie mystery, where every person who's introduced, right, is suspect.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't put the person in the book if it wasn't possible that they're... the killer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know automatically the killer is probably not going to be some stranger from left field. It's one of the characters that the author has dropped into the story at some point. So that's where it becomes, you know, is it really the FBI agent? Is it really, you know, so-and-so? And you start to look at all the people's behavior trying to crack the code.
More like a psychological tension than
an actual gunfight.
Yeah,
and at the very end, and this is, I just finished another book, same thing. You know, at the very end scene where things could go left or things could go right, they always go right, right? Like, so the good guys always win, the bad guy always goes down. And,
interesting.
Yeah.
I almost wonder, how gritty does it get? It's hard for me to picture it feeling very hard-boiled if, you know, one of the main settings is a bookstore.
Yeah, it's a bookstore with a cat, to add on to that, yeah.
So could this even possibly appeal to people who are more into cozy, or is it still just too psychological too?
No, I think it's a good cozy crossover. Say that 10 times fast, right? Because there's not a lot of blood and guts. The murders are kind of to be solved and not the
people
gory
who
thing.
Like Agatha Christie and Louise Penny and like just kind of the idea of someone like really breaking down the mystery.
Yes, I think that would be good. His other books to me are more psychological thriller, and he's known for kind of having the super twist in the plot, and that was very much true with A Kind Worth Killing. I didn't see that coming in that book. This one isn't as twisty. Of course, when you find out really who done it, you're like, oh, surprise, but it's not super twisty.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's interesting. I read it, the whole thing, which I'm not known for, so that's good.
Were there any other characters that you were introduced to that you found particularly interesting?
No. No, like, because every, you know, in a book like this, everybody is suspect. Like, super interested that the FBI agent came to him. You know, that's not protocol. Like,
I was kind of thinking that.
I was like, what's going, and it turns out there is a connection in the past between her and, I won't say anything else, but there's a little connection.
It does feel kind of like a classic mystery, like, almost Clue-esque, where it's just like, it was the butler with the candlestick in the drawing room.
That is exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, where it's all about all the little threads and not about really the individual people.
Yeah, it's just picking out the clues. It reminds me of Knives Out, right? The movie.
That was what I kept thinking about.
Yeah,
the whole time
that's what
talking.
I kept thinking about too. So you know it's somebody. You just have to be patient and figure out who it is.
Do you think this book would make a good movie?
Yes, if they could figure out how to do it all. In that it's, you know, there's a lot of different murders in different places. There's a lot of flashback to his past, and so. Mm-hmm. But yes, yeah, somebody in Hollywood can figure that out for sure. And I think what's his name, Cumberbatch.
Yeah,
I could totally see that.
I think he, because it's like the bookseller is totally boring, normal bookseller guy, but he has to be a hint sexy. Like, you have to believe that somebody might come on to him. So I think that Cumberbatch would
be
a good choice.
Otherwise, like this loner.
Loner, his wife has died
okay.
5 years previous. Hint, hint. Yeah. Right, that's a thing. His wife has died, and he lives in an apartment. He spends all of his time reading. This book does another weird thing. It name drops beers. Like, every time he goes every time he goes to a pub or, you know, out, it's very specific in the kind of beer he orders. And it's always different.
That
so
makes for some fun pairings while you're reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely
some drink suggestions.
It's definitely a beer book. But he basically doesn't really socialize. He just runs this bookstore and he goes home and he reads till he falls asleep and wakes up and does it all over again.
I do have an important question.
Sure.
What is the name of the cat?
Nero.
Oh, a good name for a cat.
The cat also has a backstory.
Oh, no.
I think
it's not a suspect.
Yeah. No, that would be insane, right?
And very the cat, cozy mystery.
To be clear, the cat does not solve the murder.
Oh, okay.
But the cat's backstory is actually one of the best in the book. And it's weird because you don't realize till later he keeps talking about the cat. You know, the cat lives at the bookstore and every morning they feed the cat.
Mm-hmm.
He drops the cat a lot, the name of the cat, and then later you find out the cat's backstory and you're like, oh. So basically, you know, these kind of authors, these kind of mysteries, don't put things in unless they're important,
yeah.
Right? So the cat's important.
Okay. I'm growing more and more intrigued by this book.
Yeah, that's all you have to do for a librarian is throw a cat in the book.
I'm not really I'm not really a thriller person generally, but I like I do enjoy like the classic mystery of just like I really just want to figure out how this happened.
Yeah, no, that's I definitely wanted to unravel it and figure out how it was all attached and what would happen to him in the end because again his backstory has some bad things in it.
Yeah,
so you kind of want to figure out.
Was this set in a particular location or city? Like, did it have that flavor of...
Yep, Boston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, set in Boston. Pubs make sense now.
Which is weird, because I kept thinking it was London. Like, I don't know, in my mind, I kept going London, and then he would make a Boston reference, but it takes place in Boston, yeah.
Yeah, the pubs and the bookstores make sense for Boston.
Yep.
All right. Those are all the questions I can think of.
Yeah. So, is there anything else you wanted to add in about the book?
No, you should read it. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Especially if you like books, which, you know, if you're a reader,
if you like books.
Do.
If you like books about books.
That's definitely books about books with a cat. That's
it. There you go. That's a big sell.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.